I'd like to welcome you all tonight. This is Lynn Free, and we're doing our Monday night conference hour, which also could be called the Monday night group energy hour, which also could be called the bridging of dimensions between realms right here on your radio and on the telephone. And I would suggest, if you want to have the experience of that, what I call multidimensional connection, then be in a quiet spot, sit down, don't be doing the dishes, and just relax and go with the flow, because there's a flow that gets established in these calls, and like people cough in the middle of it. Part of the flow. Everything is part of the flow. And there's a flow that gets established. And in order to feel the flow, you have to be in a neutral place in yourself. If you have agendas going and thinking about all kinds of things, you'll miss it. And you might miss it anyway, because not everyone can feel it. Sometimes people have things that are blocking them inside, or their minds are active, and it takes them a while to get into the experience of the flow that we create on this call. And for those that are listening on BBS, this is a simulcast of a conference call with people on the telephone and you who are listening on your internet. And if you really get into it, you're welcome to ask for the telephone number, and we'll give it to you, because there's things that happen for the people on the telephone after the call is over that don't usually happen for those of you that are listening on PBS. But we have a limited number of people that can be on the phone before we jam the lines, so thank you for listening on PBS. And don't feel that you're separated from us, because you're on the internet. So you hear those beeps, and that's people signing in. And a couple people came in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Andrea in Atlanta.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Got your email today.
Oh, marvelous. You really read them all. It's wonderful.
I do. Thank you. And we better not tell that to people, okay? Because now everyone's going to send me emails. Actually, right now I'm not getting so many emails that I can't read them. And so I really like getting emails. It makes me, you know what? I'm one of you. I'm not aloof. And so it's nice. It's nice to connect. And who else came on? Who else was on the line?
Matt in Ohio.
Matt, you sound a little bit heavy today. Are you okay?
Thanks, Wynn.
Does your red car need spark plugs?
No, maybe. We won't go there. That's okay.
Now, you see, when I said that, it made you laugh, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not hard to do.
And then the heaviness disappeared. So there. Okay. Who else is on the line? Now, if people are coming in new and they want to just listen, usually I wait till people listen to us on BBS before I give them the phone number to the regular line. But if somehow you got the number and you're listening in and you want to stay in the background, and I kind of call you one of the submarines, and it's okay, because you're like underneath the level of our awareness, right? So it's okay for you to listen in and be there. But if anyone wants to say their name in their city that hasn't yet, would you like to do that? So we got everyone that wants to say their name in the city. Okay. So I think we might have lots of new people tonight, because, you know, we have this list, my message a day list, and I've been putting a notice out about this for the past few days. So I'll share a little bit for those people about what we're doing and how it got started. This really didn't start as an internet radio show. It started as a conference call. And I was, of course, if you've been studying the readings and depending where you, how far you've gotten, you know that I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And while I was writing the book, I had this circumstance of voices talking to me through personal relationships. And it's a bit funny, actually. You know, it started out driving with Daphne from Los Angeles to Portland, and it was pouring rain, and I did a prayer. And then I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And like a joke, I said that. And she had never done this before. And she answered and said, we're here. What are your questions? And I thought she was joking. And I asked some questions, and for the next 6 months, whatever we would be doing, she would interrupt and say, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm having like this wide-open channel to talk to a voice coming through Daphne that identified itself, in most cases, as the Council of Elohim, which when I looked up the word Elohim, it said the creator God of this realm, the God of the Old Testament. And I asked them, and they said they were part of the same. Now, I didn't believe them. I mean, I'm just going along with this, and I didn't disbelieve them, but I just couldn't believe it. So I had a tape recorder running, and I'm taping all of this, and this is all very, very well documented. So it actually did happen. And there were two things that happened, I think maybe two, maybe three, that were would fall in the category of far-out phenomena. And the first thing was I asked them to predict a newspaper headline because I thought my girlfriend was schizophrenic or could have been, and who is this voice talking to me? Maybe it was part of her. And they successfully predicted a newspaper headline, and they told me the week that it would appear, and it did. The next thing that happened was they kind of said, made a prediction about the Gulf Coast and many, many people being evacuated there because of hurricanes. And a couple years later, that happened. The next thing that happened was I was asking about all the premises of my book. Now, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was bringing through all these messages through David Wilcock about this end of a cycle that our planet is in, this end of a 75,000-year cycle, and that how it equated to the prophecies of Jesus, but in an esoteric explanation without any religion. And who was speaking through David identified themselves as a social memory complex or a group soul that was made up of individual souls that graduated from this realm. And although they never said it outright, the implication was that this group soul had been involved with the evolution of humans throughout the history of mankind, and in many instances were one of the sources that spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament and many other religions, and were one of the sources that we've interpreted as God. But it was not God in the way religion makes it out to be. It was a group soul energy of billions of individualized souls that you could say were acting on the behalf of the one infinite creator, and that this is the way evolution works on a cosmic level, and that is just as somebody in the mailroom can graduate to be the CEO, and then they help people in the mailroom who then graduate on a cosmic level. There's people that graduate from this realm that become souls, energies in other realms, and then they help those of us who are still stuck here. And, of course, since they're invisible, and it's hard to explain all this, and that people were not as sophisticated in the old days as they are now, that the most simple way was let people think that you're God and help them and answer their prayers or however else you can. Now, this was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I'm saying, well, geez, I don't know if this is true or not. I know that there's all this wisdom coming through, and I recognize the wisdom because it stands on its own. But this whole idea of group souls that are made up of graduates and being the end of a cycle, that's something that I said, well, I'll just keep that out the pasture, and if there's something true, somehow or another, something will come about, and it'll connect with me. So now, I'm 2 years into writing the book, and I have my friend channeling, and I'm asking all the questions that were in the book, and about, you know, more of these esoteric understandings of group souls and psychoends, and they are giving me exactly the same answers. So those of you who are on Message a Day that happen to be listening tonight, as you get further into it, I think maybe two weeks, certainly by 3 weeks, you'll start to get the messages of what happened to me while they started talking to me and they were answering my questions. And then the third phenomena that happened, and I call that a phenomena because here is this very unusual and very specific way of looking at cosmology of soul evolution over many lifetimes. And it's one that I had never heard before. And I've read many, many metaphysical books. And here is this unusual cosmology. And then suddenly a voice is talking to me. And they're giving me the same cosmology that was in the book. And the woman that was channeling did not know this cosmology. So, to me, I said either there's only two possibilities. Either I've got it right or there's some kind of conspiracy on the other side to give me wrong information. And I'm trying to think, well, what would they get out of giving me wrong information? Because the bottom line to all of this information, the bottom line is that we have to love each other. And it's the act of loving that causes you to graduate. So giving people this information, whether it's, even if it's the wrong information, or if it's not completely right, because it's certainly not something you can validate in your logical, analytical mind, the bottom line is loving each other. And I said, hey, even if the information is not exactly right, if people will love each other because of it, then there's nothing negative in that. So I felt very clear in presenting it to people. And the last bit of phenomena that happened with my sister, where I asked this voice that said they were the Elohim, if they, my sister's husband called me and said Joanne was going into the hospital tomorrow, and this was in 2002, and they didn't think she would make it. And so I asked this voice that says they're the Elohim, that says they're the creator God of this realm, could they help my sister? And they said they could. And the next day, my sister had her operation. And the operation was for cancer, and the operation went successfully. So in my mind, I'm not really giving them credit for helping, even though it was a really tricky operation. I'm just saying, this is a very unusual coincidence. Until a few weeks later, when my sister had to go in for tests to see if the cancer disappeared, and found out that, yes, the cancer was gone, but the nurse said there was something wrong with the test because they couldn't measure her lupus. And lupus never disappears. So they tested her again and again, and the lupus was gone. So now I had a total miracle on my hands. And keep in mind, I'm in the middle of writing this book, and I was a little embarrassed by what was happening to me because the book hadn't been published. I didn't have a publisher yet. And here I'm having this crazy experience personally. And if I I talked about it. I was afraid I'd never get my book published because the book is far out enough as it stands. So what I did do at that time period was I put up a website called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and I left everybody anonymous. And I said, well, the people that are meant to find this will find it. And I did get a few emails over time. But you know what? I'm glad I put that up because it's an archival website that I put up in 2003. And everybody's anonymous. And I know that when people hear this for the first time, they have to be thinking, can this guy be legitimate? Can this really happen to somebody? And, you know, if I was doing this as some kind of subversive plot to put something into the world, I sure have had to been pretty perseverant to start out in 2003 while I was writing my book and not even put my name in the website. So there's a lot of things that anyone can review. And if you do review it and research it, you will see that undoubtedly something has been happening. Undoubtedly, I've had a lot of phenomena, and I've had voices talking to me, and they're very intelligent, and they're very consistent, and I couldn't possibly make it up. Are they who they say they are? You have to study the work and figure it out. I mean, for most people, this is including myself, this is a totally new way of viewing the universe. Now, the thing about this is that I found out that as I paid very close attention to the experience while we were channeling and while I was talking to them, I found out that whenever we would be channeling, even when I'd be reading the book aloud with Terry, who's on the line, she'll be introducing herself later, whenever I would do this, there was a shift of energy in the room. And I started to pay attention to this shift in energy. And I started to notice that it wasn't a shift that I had never experienced before in my life. I had experienced that before. I experienced it around certain spiritual teachers. I experienced it with certain people. There would be a shift in energy. And I would become more sensitive, and I could see kind of light patterns. And, you know, I'm a songwriter and a musician, and when I used to perform and I looked at the audience, there were many times when I noticed a similar shift of energy. Well, studying the material of the Ra group and the Elohim group, particularly the Elohim group, they said this very specifically, they would describe how they would come into this realm as love, light, energy, and that I started to make the premise, the shift of energy that I'm feeling, maybe it's them. Maybe I'm feeling them because I'm channeling them, and I started to get the idea that when we were channeling and other times, they were able to project into this realm, and I could feel them. Then I would start giving talks about my book, and when I would be speaking to an audience, I noticed that same energy in the room. In fact, it reminded me of when I was performing, but it was even stronger. It was, in fact, sometimes we would sell books after the talk, and Terry would be there, and people would line up to buy books, and they would say to her, God, I could see light in the room. I never saw that before. I could see auras in the room. And so we did a channeling, and we asked about it, and they said, that was them. They were helping me. So I said, well, this is really interesting. Here I am. I'm talking about these group souls, and they can actually be present in a way that I experienced before, but I never really believed or even considered that there was intelligence behind the energy. So then I said, well, geez, this is a really awesome thing to be having these very kind of casual tete-a-tetes with these group souls, and then feeling them projecting energy into the realm. How can I use that for the benefit of others? I mean, by the way, my book still wasn't out. I was still very reticent to talk about it. I don't think I didn't start doing this until maybe 2006 or 2007. And I asked them, I said, if I do a conference call, would you be able to project into the space of the people on the call and help them? And they said they could do that. So I started making lists of people when I would give talks, and then I would invite them to a conference call on Monday night, this very time we're doing this one here. And I kept saying, this is an experiment. I don't know what's going to happen. And what we did initially is I would read some excerpts from some of the channelings. And I have a book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is still in the rough draft, but I'll be making it available soon. And I would read the channelings, and when I read them, I could feel the energy shift. And so could other people. And we kept doing it, and then we started doing something which was putting things in the light. And that has to do with creating intentions. We all know what intentions are. Now, one of the things I've learned is that intentions have the ability to penetrate what you could call the veil. All of us have a limitation of perception beyond this realm. We may be able to intuit things, but we can't see what it looks like in other dimensions. But we exist in those other dimensions. Part of us, as well as some of these other beings, exist there. And so by making an intention, we can penetrate the veil, and we won't necessarily see it, but we'll connect with the part of us in those other realms. And the part of us in those other realms is the part of us that's the precursor to this realm. In other words, this reality starts somewhere else and then downloads here. And if you can create something there that's within the right flow and right connection, it can download and become something really big here, as opposed to trying to do it from this realm. One way of looking at that is like whether you're using grace or the sweat of the brow to make something happen. Well, one person has so many light units in the other realm that they can draw on. So they can send an intention through the veil and connect with the part of themselves that's in that realm. Now, if two people do that together, it gets stronger than just times two. And if 10 people do it together, it gets way, way stronger than times 10. And then one of the things that can happen is that there are these two group souls in the same, they can tap into these realms where we exist as energy on the other side of the veil. And I learned that you could ask them to come in and join with the energies, and that they could do it. And then when we would create an intention, maybe we'd have 10 or 12 people on the phone line, and a million people in a group, or a million souls in a group soul, or however many they would designate to pay attention, because they designate. It's a bureaucracy of some sort where they say, well, Wynn's group needs 10,000 people or 40,000. I shouldn't use the word people, souls. And so then they come support the group intention, and then you can make miracles happen. And those who have been on the group regularly and watched this have seen those things happen quite often. Sometimes somebody will be on this call, and they email me, and they said some pain went away in their body. Another person was on this call. They said my breast cancer went away. So they're paying attention to you. And, you know, if you can tap into the energy of them, because they're an energy, there's a chance that you have the opportunity to make your intentions known. One of the problems, I won't say it's a problem, but one of the things about being a regular human is that oftentimes our human energy is compressed, very small. Many of us are going through hard times. Many of us are worried about money, you know, worried about our children. And all those things compress you. And then when you want to change something and you pray, you're praying from a compressed state. And it's very hard to get your intention through the veil when you're in a compressed state. So when we come together as a group on this call, and, you know, we have calls every night of the week, actually, that people are coming to help keep themselves uncompressed. Because there's a lot of reasons today in the world to be compressed. And if you read the newspaper, if you watch TV, if you're worried about the economy, if you're worried about what Bush is doing, you know, you could have quite a long line of reasons to be afraid, compressed, and guess what? When you're in that space, you can't get your intention through the veil. And so it becomes a self-perpetuating state of mind, and you can't get out of it. So when we come together as a group energy, as we're doing now, then the group energy can give you enough thrust to get your intent, your own personal intention, through the veil into the place where you can change the way things are manifesting for you. And when you want something different, you have to get your intention through the veil. Otherwise, it's sweat of the brow. $7 an hour. There's no magic. No one comes. You're alone. You're just trying to do everything yourself, and you're just working, working harder, and nothing changes. So you have to get through the veil into the part of you that exists on the other side of the veil so it can help. Now, you know, what I'm saying can be used for both positive and negative. In other words, selfish people, self-serving people have the same ability to get their intention through the other side of the veil and make things happen. You know, groups that are looking for power over other people create covens. They create, now every coven doesn't mean it's self-serving, but satanic circles, whatever. And they use the same principle to create a group energy to make something happen. But the group souls that we're relating to will not support those actions, whereas they will support actions which are for the highest good of all concerned. Their concern is to lift the vibration of this planet, not to cause Joan to make John love her. Okay? There's plenty of gypsies, ice psychics on the corner that will burn candles and pray so that John might love Joan. But these group souls are not concerned whether John loves Joan. They're concerned about a planet that's on a precipice, and that each of us has the ability to connect with these higher energies and help the balance on this planet. And oftentimes when we think of affecting a change down here, we think of politics, we think of crusading, we think of things that are where there's a cause and effect. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. And it can be very noble to be working cause and effect methodologies of making a difference. The problem, though, is that they're very slow and long, and sometimes they don't work at all. For example, it's beautiful to go down to the homeless shelters and help the homeless and give them food. The problem is, in most cases, tomorrow they're going to be hungry again. And unless you go down tomorrow, you haven't fixed them. So you did a nice thing for one day, but you haven't effected a long-term change. You're just perpetuating a reality now. When you can shift something in the other dimensions, when you can shift an energy there, you can effect a permanent change and transformation so that when it downloads into this reality system, it sticks. So it's like changing a person from being depressed to being joyous, to where they're walking around, woe is me, and then they're walking around saying, I'm smiling all the time. I feel really good. Now, that's one of the things that's happened to some of the people that have been on our conference calls. And it didn't happen because of anything they did or technique. It's the energy on the call. It's the energy of lifting themselves up in their own hologram so that they're above the waterline. They're not below the waterline. It's the energy of connecting with the energies of the higher realms and getting used to it and anchoring them to yourself. And suddenly, you're not woe with me anymore. The hurts have been healed. You know, these guys that we're talking to can come in your dreams. They can whisper in your ear. They can surround you in a cloud of beautiful energy. They can heal you. But they don't violate your free will. They must be asked. Like in the book we're coming out with called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and this is one of the things I used to read on the line when we first started, how can an individual have some personal experience that they're really having a connection with an interdimensional source such as the Elohim? What are the physical signals and evidence that would confirm that they're having a connection? Elohim, there can be a light appearing to the individual, surrounding and providing a loving space around the individual. And when I read this, imagine that it's happening for you right now. Imagine that there's a loving energy coming into your space and that you can feel it. And it's like the places in you that are sad, that are holding negative stuff, this energy can move into it. And it can help fill up the holes. I'm going to go back to reading. It's a love light energy surrounding the individual, which the individual can sense. That is one of the first signs of connection. Secondly, if a person is directed to the light, an answer may form as if a thought in the seeker or the asker. One must use discernment in accepting an answer. If an answer does not fit your question or your recognition of what is right, you may have been contacted by a negative source which has intercepted the connection line. Don't ever pursue this, but reset and connect to the Elohim source or the Ra source. That thought will have a resonance within you of correctness. Do not accept an answer unless it resonates as a correct and informative answer. Now, you notice they brought up the idea of the negative. Well, in these realms we're talking about, when we expand ourselves, when we use our intention to project through the veil, there are negative beings there as well as positive ones. And as you increase your matrix, the space of your matrix, you also increase the possibility of being observed by a negative being who might want to connect with you. And negative beings don't say they're negative, particularly if you're positive. And they will do everything they can to deceive you, to trick you. And that's why when you're dealing with love light energy, when you're dealing with the actual projection of energy into this realm, you usually have nothing to worry about. But when you start getting voices, and sometimes people hear my experience and then they want to channel, I would say I would not attain to that. If it happens, let it happen. Because if you attain to it, within the attainment, there is ambition. And oftentimes, one wants to have that experience for the wrong reasons. Like, they'll be more popular, they'll get famous, whatever. Wouldn't it be neat? I can tell this person I'm talking to so-and-so. When you have those kinds of intentions with having this experience, those are the things which attract a negative source. And a negative source will do what it can to ingratiate itself with you. And then you start thinking you're special, your ego gets involved, and they start telling you things to do, and they make your decisions for you. You know, the criteria for a negative source in other realms is not so different from the criteria for negative sources in this realm. If a source will take your free will away, if it will make your decisions for you, if it will take your discernment away, if it will, you know, butter up your ego, say, oh, you're the next Messiah, or you're this, or you're that, or if it creates fear, if you don't do this, we're going to do that. And those are all flags for a negative source. And so rushing to want to have a channeling experience is not necessarily the best thing to do. The best thing to do is to pay attention to it and very carefully learn to pay attention to the frequencies of these sources. As I say, they're in the space. And if you can learn their frequencies, then if you get a voice ever talking to you and you feel the frequency, you're probably on the right track. But if you just have a voice and you don't feel a frequency, don't feel an energy, I would be really careful of that. They don't really go out of their way to talk to people for entertainment. Their goal, as I've seen it, is the transformation of this realm. And they need us to be their bridges, to be their vehicle which they can express themselves. They can do huge transformations in this realm. They can do interventions. They can stop hurricanes. They can stop earthquakes, or they can be part of the energetic flow that does that. But they need people connecting with their energy so that they can do it. They can't do it without that. To the best of my, I'm not sure if they could if they wanted to, or if it's just part of cosmic law, but it's been my observation that they want to help, they want to participate, but we need to ask. Here's another little excerpt. We are there for the asking. You but have to ask and we will be there. We feel your need and can surround and support you at times during the day when our support is needed to carry you successfully through a task. That's the Elohim. And there's a difference between these two group souls and how they interact. And in the material on Message of Day, I try to get that across. And it's very good to read the book because if what I'm saying is true, and helping you guys make connections that will last for you the rest of your life. And it's not my goal to get people to need me. It's my goal to get people to connect with these energies. And once you connect, it's yours. You know, here, I'm just reading something from the book, and it's exactly what I just said. Everything starts on the other side with a projection into something that at that time does not exist. So in spite of the conflict of his vision, it is the beginning of a change. One thing's change in his universe, his own personal universe, The other vestiges change to agree. So he attracts that which he sees in his heart to be reality. So I didn't tell the complete story, and we're running out of time, and I want to make sure we have a chance to let them say hello. We've been doing a lot of talking about the Elohim, and Terry is one of the people in my life that is very dedicated to what we're doing and is able to be a voice for these, both of these soul groups that have spoken through her, the Ra group and the Elohim group. Now keep in mind, this is a voice connected to a huge archetype of energy. This is not a personality, but they kind of create a personality so that we can identify with them. Now, I'm not going to... Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Now, do you feel open if I call on them? Is the energy open?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. It's 6:44, and we probably have about 7 or 8 minutes. Let me just tell you that we're doing these conference calls every night of the week. Now, normally I don't talk. People call in the light. People that have learned to tune into the energy don't need me. They can just do it. And different people that have had that experience have volunteered to do this every night of the week just to help people who are going, well, it's got two purposes, to help people that are need support, because a lot of people need support right now. And so it's just like a stable datum that every day you can check into a conference call and feel this energy supportive of you. And the other thing is that every time we come together and bring all the energies together, it's like we are creating stability energetically in all of our spaces and giving more permission for interventions and help from these group souls. So if you're going through a lot of changes, or if you want to be of service and you have your evenings free, oftentimes they're only 15 or 20 minutes long, and these are people that have just volunteered because they were touched by, in a personal way, by what we're doing. So I'm going to do this little ritual, which I call calling in of the light, which is another way of doing what I was talking about earlier, but just in a formalized way. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, we use our intentions, and this is for those who freewillingly feel comfortable in doing this, to blend our energies in the higher realms, in the other dimensions, as a group, all of us listening to this call, whether on the radio or on the phone, you can shut your eyes and ask for that lifting of your energy and that blending. And we create a group energy, and we invite those positive service to other sources particularly the Elohim group and the Ra group to join with our energies, to blend with our energies. If you shut your eyes, those of you that are more sensitive will feel the connection. And we just have a few minutes, so I'm going to turn it over to Terry and see if they have any words for us. And could whoever is coming through please identify who they are first? Thank you.
Thank you. This is the Council of On. We greet you tonight in the love light of the one infinite creator. Creator. It is then our fondest wish to make a connection with mankind, and it is hard to make the connection in that mankind is grounded into the frequencies of the earth plane. We are of a higher energy frequency, pure love light. We can formulate thoughts, we can formulate actions, we can formulate conclusions that are out of the box that can help mankind with problems that he doesn't know what to do about, problems that he may have created for himself or someone else has created, and other people are left with the consequences and do not know how to relate or to heal the problem. It is our fondest wish to make a two-way connection, not just a connection where the people of Earth talk to us and sense a gap in connection by thinking that we are not answering. It is just that we are of such a high frequency that he doesn't look in that range. It's as if he's asking on an AM radio and we are answering on short wave. And one needs the practice, which one can get by tuning into these conference calls and by tuning into other events, workshops, and things that we offer through the connection of Terry and Wynn and Daphne and also Matthew. It is our delight and our honor to be able to speak to you tonight. And we send you love by each and every listener on this line. Adonai.
Thank you very much. And we are honored to be a voice that you could have into this realm. And if any of you have tuned in tonight for the first time, I would suggest that we have a daily email that you can subscribe to, and we're not charging for it at this point. And we put in the current messages of both of these soul groups into this email, and that it's a great boost and a lift, because not only are you reading it, but their energies are also on it. And we've had quite a few people that have said it just changed your energies around reading it every day. So if you want to subscribe to it, go to theinsidescoop.org. The Inside Scoop. No spaces or anything else. .org. And there's a form. And just fill out the form and push enter, and you'll get an email back right away. So I thank you all for joining us. I also hope that you'll read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's a link from that website to the book. And that book has probably the best explanations of things from the Ra group. I thank you all who are listening to us for the first time tonight. And I hope you'll come back again. And I thank everybody on our conference call who has helped hold the energy to make this kind of broadcast possible. And on that note, we'll say goodbye to BBS, and we'll continue with the holding of the light and the putting things in the light on the conference call. And I thank you all for being so quiet, because I didn't mute any of you. So I don't think you're muted. Terry, you didn't mute them, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So anyone that just wants, the way we do this, and if you're new, I think we have one new person, and then we have the submarines. If you're new on the line, just listen to it. And if you feel like saying something, just say it. you belong just because you open your mouth and participate. So this is where we take this group energy that we've created, and each person can put their own personal needs and wants and hopes, and or planetary needs and wants and hopes, into this pool of energy, always for the highest good of all concerned. In other words, if we didn't add that, we would be black magicians or magicians, just using this energy to manipulate things, and we would lose the support of the positive soul groups. So whether it's spoken or unspoken, the underlying rule is that it's for the highest good of all concerned. And I leave the space open.
I would like to ask, this is Terry, I would like to ask for help with the handling of the living situations of my house in Sedona and Wynn's house, that it may work out for the highest good.
Is anyone else out there?
I'm here. this is Anna, and I wanted to ask for love and light to be sent to everyone listening on BBS Radio and everyone connected to this Higher Vision community, all our projects. I'd like to ask for love and light to be sent to Rebecca, Lisa, and Margaret, Jesse Fuente, Judy Davis, and Marche Singh. I'd like to put my work and my finances in the light. I'd like to ask for love and light to be sent to all light workers everywhere in the world. Great love and gratitude to Mother Earth, the Sun, and all the positive higher beings for their help. Thank you.
This is Jackie, and I would like to send love, light, and healing energy to Arthur Watson and his family, and also to Francis. Also, love, light, and healing energies to everyone on this call tonight and everyone associated with this group, all of our loved ones, our pets, our projects, and our homes. Special thanks and appreciation to Wynn, Terry, Daphne, Matthew, and their sources. Love and light to all light workers in service to others, and to all those who are reaching out for love and light to enter their lives. My thanks and appreciation and love to Mother Earth, our Sun, Ra, the Elohim, Quo, and all the others who assist us. And I would like to amplify all the requests that are made tonight. Thank you.
This is Maya. I would like to embrace the light, and with it, the highest good of all concerned, and the highest good of me concerned. My living situation, financial situation, mental health, that it would not become a situation. I would like to send a lot of light to Wynn, to the person who's inviting me to the White House in January, thank you.